Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I probably have the unique perspective of having visited all of the other universities that have lab schools and FAU's charter school, which is nationally recognized consistently for high achievement. It has been an amazing addition to the community in Boca Raton, in particular for FAU. But many of you are familiar with UF, FSU, FAMU, some of the other lab and development schools and how successful they are.
This is Janice Gilley. She is, of course, former county administrator, former, representative. She's done kind of everything. I think she was even a county commissioner long ago after the clean out of the Escambia County Commission. But currently she is in Santa Rosa County. In the background, she was the aide or chief of staff for Senator Broxson for a long time. One of my favorite people, honestly, one of the people that, if Janice Gilley calls me and says, Andrew, you're wrong about that. I'm like, yes, ma'am, I sure am. Tell me why.
If I say it?
Well, we have. Anyway, we get our input from different people. Janice is great. And so I was so excited to find out that she was going to be on the Board of Trustees for UWF, and she is now officially. She was, confirmed that without conversation, which is the best way to go. So she's talking about the lab school at UWF and talking about how, the one at FAU is amazing, the ones that are elsewhere are amazing. And this is not a brand new concept. If you're not familiar, lab school is the idea of having a teaching school where the people who are in the education department will go and be able to practice what they do with students who are also getting a good education. And you see this for all kinds of professions. You see, dentists get to practice and you can go get their stuff. You can go to if there's a hairstyling place and they're doing their, you can get your hair styled for cheap. It's not the same kind of thing, but you get the principle is it's a way for the students to get good education and for the people to do their what you might call their practicals or their labs or whatever you want to think. It's great applied practice for the art of teaching instead of, for example, just learning. Learning it in the classroom is not the same as running a classroom, essentially. Ask me how I know. Because as a teacher for a long time, we got a day's worth of very minimal training. And then here, go do this. Okay. I was good at it, but I don't think everybody is. And, sometimes you have to learn real fast. So anyway, this is a thing that gets used all over the place.
And what in the word lab, laboratory has been very, very helpful to the community and to the education development, not only for the students that attend the universities and have opportunities to teach in those facilities, but there's also the state colleges. There are 19 different collegiate and charter high schools that are affiliated with our state colleges across the system. So from that perspective, this isn't a new opportunity.
It's definitely not new, and it's very good for everybody, particularly for the UWF students, the teaching students.
It's a fantastic opportunity for the university to provide to our students to be in the classroom. They can actually walk maybe potentially across campus or maybe be down the road from us. And so from an academic, a faculty, and a student perspective, I am excited about the opportunity. It is fantastic public policy to provide our students opportunities while they're going through school to get that experience.
Yeah, it's great. Heather Riddell, who is the Faculty Senate President on the board, asks the question, which this has been very muddied in the public conversation. There are people that have been asking all the wrong questions about this, making all the wrong allegations about this concept. And it's been a very confusing thing to know the difference between what is a lab school? What is a private school? What is a charter school? In what ways do they overlap? In what ways are they distinct? So, again, Heather Riddell, who's the Faculty Senate President, asks exactly that question.
Can you explain the difference between a lab school, the private school that people have been talking about, and then the charter school?
Okay, yeah. So there's different sections of statute. This is a new section of statute. We would be the first university to avail ourselves of this opportunity.
So, and that's because there was an old model for setting up these schools, and there's a new model for setting them up. And the old model was that the university, for example, would build and run the school. It would be a part of the university.
Under the older statute, a lab school is on the campus or near the campus. The facilities are built by the university. So the funding for the facility and everything that entails that is put up by the university. And the university is responsible for running the school. So they're basically in the K-12 business.
Yeah, so UWF, in this case, that's Manny Diaz, of course, the president. UWF would basically build a school on the campus. And then they would staff the school, and they would control the school, and they would enroll students in the school, and UWF would be running a university and a K-12 school. That's the old model of having a lab school. The new model...
This statute provides you the opportunity to be a sponsor, which means you can bring in an operator, which allows the university not to get into the business of K-12, which we're not currently in, right, and to run a school. But it does provide the opportunity to create the lab setting with a memorandum of understanding. And so you get the benefits of a lab school without taking on the cost, without taking on the bureaucracy of operating the school. And this board will still have oversight over that school, making sure that it performs correctly, making sure that it meets all of the requirements. And we put in that contract what we want that is going to be beneficial to UWF.
So basically, instead of building and operating the school, you would engage in a partnership with a private company that is going to come on campus and establish a school, like a charter school, basically. I mean, theoretically, I suppose the school board could do it if they wanted to. I don't know that that's prohibited by the statute. But they would put up the cost of building it. They would actually manage it. But UWF would be kind of like the board of directors, would be in control of the idea of the school, what it's trying to accomplish and how it works. So it's a partnership. They just don't have to do the money and they don't have to run it. This is a brand new thing that's recently authorized by statute. So this is the first of its kind if it comes to the University of West Florida. More on this in a second. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. New affordable housing, resort-style living, one-bedroom apartment starting at $799 per month. That's Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. Still rolling accident-free, even delay-free right now. I'm not seeing anything that's going to slow you down so far. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
So if you're like me, you hate the idea of going shopping for a mattress. I get it. You know, you're first of all, you know, it's expensive. They are. I mean, they're not cheap. But of course, you know, you get what you pay for a lot of times. But also, it's the idea of they're so different. How do I know what I'm doing? These people seem kind of scuzzy. I mean, that's just the perception, and for reasons, because you've probably been to a mattress store and you didn't make you feel great to go in there, and you know the way they manage you, and you felt like you're trying to get one over on you, whatever. Okay, well, that's why you go to the Sleep Center. They've been around for 30 years here in Pensacola. Anybody here locally kind of knows they're the place to go. But if you're not from here, and, you know, I'm not from here, okay, so I have to learn these things too. But not all sleep places, not all mattress places are the same. These are the folks that everybody else is trying to imitate all the time and trying to pretend like there's no difference between them all. But you go there, and, for example, there are people who don't work on commission, so there's no pressure. You want somebody helping you all the way? Great. You want to do it all on your own? Either way, that's fine. But they're there to give you options, to educate you if you want it. They stand by their prices as the best in the area. They have the best selection of mattresses in the area. They have the best service for sure in the area. They want to make sure that you're happy. They have a 30-day better rest guarantee. But they want you to try, because sometimes, you know, a new mattress, you kind of have to get used to a little bit. You know, the first day or two may not feel great, but it takes a few. And so 10 or 20 days in, you're like, oh, okay, this does work. But up to 60 days, you can return it. Okay, no problem. Of course, they specialize in the sleep foam, you know, and this is the real, actual NASA-invented sleep foam that they sell. Again, often imitated, never quite duplicated. So, you know, find the bed that's right for you. Get refreshment night's sleep. Go to the Sleep Center on the north side of Creighton, just east of Davis Highway. All right, back to the conversation at UWF at the Board of Trustees about this lab school. Again, two different kind of concepts. The old concept would be that the school would build it and operate it and put all the money up and do all the oversight. The new concept, recently authorized by changes in Florida law, allows you to contract or partner with an outside company that's going to come in and build a school and run it. But UWF, it's meant to be for the benefit of the education students, teaching students, and also for the community. So it's more sponsored and overseen rather than funded. But there are interesting elements of this that, you know, again, really make it useful for UWF. And one of them is that you can do it right on the campus so that it's a, which of course the old model you could do, but without having to fund it now. But this means it's a benefit for the faculty and the students who have kids that need a school.
It makes a lot of sense to have it on the campus. And then on top of that, you provide basically a charter in the workplace so that the kids of our faculty, staff, and students can attend that school and drop those kids off.
I mean, just think about the logistical challenges of if you are a faculty member at UWF or if you are a student at UWF and you're trying to make classes, but you also have a kid that needs to be in school. Well, coordinating schedules can be hard, which is, I mean, true for everybody. But when you have a large collection of people in one area, if there enough of them have kids, then you can find a way to make it beneficial to their kids and to them to have the school at that location. Kind of like we're talking about with, this is the conversation that got me thinking of, talking about Onboard NAS Whiting Field having a school. Colton Wright says the age of the, you know, the junior lieutenants who are in training there, it's not really appropriate for, it's not quite the right age. So, you know, pre-K, it makes more sense. But, you know, NAS Pensacola, I mean, military bases have schools. Anywhere you're going to have a large concentration of people, this is a concept that does work. It's just different at UWF because you have teaching students who are going to benefit from being able to teach there. So on the campus would be a benefit to them. And then there's a totally different thing. Okay, so this would be, could be K through 12, could be a high school, could be K through 6. There's all kinds of things you could do, and you don't have to do one big thing. You could do a couple of different possible collaborations. But then there's also the idea of doing a private school. And this is, these are separate, different things that they're talking about.
The third piece that we talk about that's not related directly to this is having a pilot school that we talked about, K-3, we were approached, and having a shared use agreement in space within the School of Education, which would function both as, it, I really see it as an extension of the Childhood Development Center, because it would allow parents to have those kids continue on K, first, second, and third grade, but add the dimension of creating a lab setting there for our School of Education. And we've been working with Dean Soares to formulate that. And so that would be, again, through philanthropic funding, through a shared use agreement, but it's not a charter school.
So now you're just talking about a private school that would be on campus that would also be a pilot school, you know, maybe a K-3, but also a chance for teaching opportunities, collaboration, the kids more who have aged out of the early childhood learning environment, they can, you know, go into the K through three kind of thing. And those are not the same things. That's kind of what he's getting at, is that they do operate differently, but they kind of have all been mashed together. Either of these, you have to get approval from the board. Then you kind of go out and, you know, see if people apply to them. And if they do, then you come back to the board and say, here's what we have for you. A lot of people were under the impression that this was a vote in order to actually approve a deal to do a thing. It's very preliminary. Even Ashley Ross, who's one of the board members, expressed kind of her relief that this was not anything specific, not yet. It's more framework and intent.
So obviously with what we're voting on here today, to not have a specific school attached to it, that certainly helped clear things up for me. I do think overall this is a great opportunity for our school.
Yeah, and it is a really good opportunity. And it's not just any particular thing. It's, again, kind of the framework. Manny Diaz, and I think accurately responding to some of the unjust, unfounded, exaggerated criticism. I mean, we have a group of people who are still very, very angry. I'm actually one of them, very angry about how all of this happened with the board and still does happen with some of the board members and the process for getting Manny in. I think Manny's going to be a good president, at least I have my fingers crossed. I hope so. But some people are so angry about all that that they're kind of any new thing to latch on to, and the confusion over the charter versus the private, the lab versus the pilot, the K-12 versus the K-3, all of these things kind of slopping all together, and allegations that he's already baked in a private enterprise that he's going to oversee and make a profit from and all of that. And here's his response.
I think that you've seen that some folks have tried to create a negative atmosphere around this, or some negativity around it, as if it's not a positive for the university, and try to portray it as some kind of sneaky thing where this is a pilot program that would benefit the university and would benefit our faculty, staff, and students to be able to have their children, no different than what we do with the Child Development Center. And so, unfortunately, those things happen. We don't have any control what those people say, but I think This is definitely a positive for the university.
Yeah, I think so, too. And it could be even more than one thing. You know, I particularly see it as a benefit for the education students, for teaching, obviously, in a school that they would have the opportunity to practice in, but also good for the students and the faculty who have kids of school age, that they can have a place where they can take their kids, and that's probably going to be more convenient for them, at least, you know, many days, not necessarily every day, but certainly on days when they're either in the classroom teaching or working, or if they're in the classroom learning. 624 here on News Radio, actually, 625 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right, still rolling accident-free, even delay-free. I'm not seeing anything, again, to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Pensacon is this weekend. The 13th annual Pensacon is going on this weekend. I have tickets for you for the weekend. You can win them 437-1620, 437-1620. Weekend passes, so full-blown access. Caller number three right now, 437-1620.
Did you know Florida West Economic Development Alliance exists to deliver measurable results for Escambia County? Our focus is simple: growing local businesses and attracting new ones that create jobs, increase wages, and bring private investment to our community. Every project is evaluated on its ROI to taxpayers. Florida West works to ensure Escambia County remains competitive for high-value employers today and for decades to come. Learn more at floridawesteda.com.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
No, 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 sir. Can't use them, don't want them, couldn't afford them if I did.
What the hell are you talking about?
Race car drivers.
The passing of Robert Duvall, classic actor in so many movies, about 150 credits on IMDb to his name.
Seeing all that.
It's always interesting to me when somebody passes and you pay more attention to their career and you think about kind of all the things that they have done. And in this case, the one that caught me the most by surprise is I didn't realize he played Boo Radley in To Kill a Mockingbird. That was his first film credit. It was all TV before that. And he did some TV after that, but then, you know, all the other roles that he played, of course. 628 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, David. Do you have headlines for me?
I certainly do. So weeks of searching in the desert in the Southwest now have not yet solved the mysterious disappearance of Nancy Guthrie, the 84-year-old mother of Today Show host Savannah Guthrie, of course, has been missing now since February 1st. And the FBI has now offered a $100,000 reward. The Trump administration formally denying Minnesota access to evidence in the fatal shooting of Alex Preti by federal agents. Drew Evans, the head of Minnesota's Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, said yesterday the FBI would not be sharing evidence with the state. Evans said the BCA has also been stymied over other fatal shootings, including the shooting of Renee Good in January. And looks like Team USA will have another shot at gold. The American women are fighting for their third Olympic gold medal in ice hockey later this week.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620. Oh, this is a I don't want to dwell on this too much, but it's to me an example of somebody who's let ideology get in the way of being, you know, not an idiot. As in, they've succeeded at being idiotic by letting ideology get in their way.
Gotcha.
I've never heard of this person before, but I don't really hang out in these circles much. But RAIR Foundation is apparently some allegedly conservative entity run by Amy Mech, who is a vocal critic of Islam and has now put out a post on X that's calling out Buffalo Wild Wings in Texas for, again, allegedly having halal wings, at least available on their menu. Halal, if you do not know, is the Muslim version of approved meat. Kind of like, you know, if it's kosher, that's Jewish. If it's halal, that's Muslim. And so she says it's a food jihad, a stealth weapon of Islamic supremacists shoving barbaric, inhumane rituals into America's red meat heartland. Boycott halal, calling for a boycott of at least this one Buffalo Wild Wings and others. First of all, it hasn't been confirmed that it even is truly halal. But second, so what if it is? I mean, you know, there's just regular Muslims too, though, right? And marketing to them is smart. Just like marketing kosher items or Fish Fry Fridays to Catholics or vegan or vegetarian or gluten-free. It's just marketing to people who want a thing.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Therese Crowley. Moved by the same spirit as Dr. King, the great Chicago civil rights leader Jesse Jackson has died.
Civil rights leader, politician, and community activist Jesse Lewis Jackson was born October 8th, 1941 in Greenville, South Carolina. In the early 60s, the country was in the throes of the civil rights movement. Jackson says he was so inspired by Dr. Martin Luther King, he went to work for him and was with King when he was assassinated in 1968.
Fox's Mike Tobin. After the 60s strife, Jackson's Operation Push moved to unify people. His presidential bids paved the way for Barack Obama. Jesse Jackson was 84. The Tucson search for 84-year-old Nancy Guthrie. A DNA sample retrieved from the possible intruder's glove to be entered in the FBI's CODIS database. The U.S. and Iran hold nuclear talks today in Geneva. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 49 degrees with clear skies this morning. A full forecast on tap from Brooke Richardson and Channel 3. That's up in just a few minutes. A former Pensacola doctor will not be serving prison time for his role in a pill mill operation. William Wilson pleaded guilty. He was sentenced to 10 years probation plus a $5,000 fine. That case began after 17-year-old Tristan Bruni died from a prescription Wilson wrote for oxycodone, Xanax, and Ambien. Tristan's parents say they had known Wilson for years. He'd been their family doctor. Investigators say Wilson's office billed insurance companies for more than $1.8 million. Wilson's wife and son face similar charges. They're due in court this week. A Westside Pensacola butcher shop is feeding hundreds of kids a day through a free lunch program. Christy Costello, the co-owner of Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli on Fairfield and Lillian, says that the program started during COVID after she had a dream.
March 15th, 2020, during COVID, I had a dream that our schools were going to be closing and the kids needed to be fed over on the west side. The west side has a big need and they're kind of forgotten about over there. Mm-hmm. So that morning we woke up and we started our free lunch program where I feed every child that comes through our doors, whether they need it or not. So no child knows any different.
Ann Costello was on Pep Talk to talk about that program yesterday. She says kids receive a bag with a breakfast, a lunch, and a dinner item in it. And on Wednesdays, Costello says she has fed up to 550 children in a single day, including 155 through the Salvation Army. Any school-aged child can receive a meal, no paperwork, and no ID is required. Well, a father and son from Jay are facing charges after allegedly stealing several tons of recycled asphalt out of a county parking lot. Sheriff Bob Johnson says the motive appears to be that they needed a driveway.
Yeah, you can't make this stuff up. It's apparently they needed a driveway. I don't know. So, when I had to have a driveway, I had to pay for it.
And Johnson says the stolen material was either crushed road material or the milling that's used for driveways. He said the people who commit crimes like that probably won't be making any appearances on Jeopardy anytime soon. Well, the new College of Florida could be expanding. A House subcommittee voting yesterday in Tallahassee to allow the NCF to take over the USF Sarasota Manatee. Coral Gables State Representative Demi Busada filed the bill. Opponents say it would add to the new College of Florida's debt. A state senate has not introduced a similar bill, at least as of yet. NASA's Artemis II mission could mark another milestone this week. NASA said yesterday they're planning to hold a wet dress rehearsal on Thursday. They found a leak during the first wet dress rehearsal 2 weeks ago, but engineers believe they've now fixed that problem. The simulated launch time will begin Thursday night at 8:30. The test will take place during a four-hour window. So far, no date has been chosen for an actual launch date, but NASA does say March 6th is the earliest that could happen. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. We're still rolling accident-free. Great news on that. Even delay-free. I-10, I-110, Highway 29, 90, 98 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And let's get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be seeing plenty of sunshine today. Temperatures warming up near 68 degrees in the afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. For Wednesday, 20% chance of a stray shower with partly sunny skies, high near 73. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Going into Thursday, partly sunny skies, 20% chance of a stray shower, high near 76. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it's 51 and cloudy right now. Our next news at 7 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It's game day. Are your moderate to severe Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis symptoms keeping you from the action? Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, could help you get back to the game. Skyrizi is proven to help people feel significant symptom relief, achieve remission, and visibly improve damage of the intestinal lining. Skyrizi is a prescription injection medicine for adults. Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines. Liver problems leading to hospitalization may occur when treated for Crohn's or ulcerative colitis. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one prescribed biologic in Crohn's and ulcerative colitis combined. Learn more at Skyrizi.com or 1-866-SKYRIZI.
February is Customer Appreciation Month at Daryl Sewing of Pensacola. Daryl Sewing is the largest sewing machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering a variety of sewing machines, serger, and embroidery machines. This month, all Bernina machines are 25% off of MSRP. Bernina machines are made to create. So create something cool this month with Bernina and Daryl's. Daryl's of Pensacola, 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess, or online at sewinginpensacola.com.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care this morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Woo! Y'all gonna make me lose my mind.
Sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
This is crazy.
Oh no, we're doomed.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
Here is today's sign of the apocalypse.
All right, the sign of the apocalypse is when... We talk about things that seem to indicate it's the end of everything. And it's never, you know, these are, oh my God, these stories. Okay, so, and I have several. This is not like a sign of the apocalypse. This is like multiple signs of the apocalypse, okay? So prepare yourself. It's going to be a rough 15 minutes. I'm just.
Oh, no.
The things you're going to hear, you're going to wish you did not know, I think. But, you know, you're going to want to know them at the same time because it's like, oh, my God, this is actually happening. Okay. So the first one, have you ever heard of looksmaxing? John, I'm going to.
Who?
Looksmaxing, looksmaxing, or looksmaxers are people who engage in looksmaxing.
No.
Okay. Looksmaxing or looksmaxers are boys who are trying to maximize they've internalized what you might say is kind of like female ideas of beauty in the sense of trying to have perfect bodies, perfect faces, perfect bodies. Everything's perfect. Now, not that they're trying to accomplish looking like women. This is not a transgender thing, but they're, you know, women have often internalized the idea of everything you can possibly do to maximize your, you know, how you look. Well, now there are some men who are doing it, or boys who are doing it. In this particular case, what they're, and a lot of this is fed by social media, of course, seeing these, I mean, I hate, influencers is just, I hate the term, it's such a silly term, evil leaders of minor cults, I don't know what you want to call them, but there's all kinds of people on the internet and social media selling all kinds of things. In this case, you have, you know, these jacked up guys who look amazing all the time, like, you know, historically you've always had for women. But in this case, you have men who are or teenagers who are internalizing this. And what are they doing? Well, in some cases, they're actually getting their bones broken. They're getting their bones broken because they think that somehow or other, breaking their bones will give them a more appealing face over time. Also, taking meth because it will give them a thinner, more gaunt sort of look. You know how meth people look, you know, yeah. If they can keep the teeth and lose the cheeks, I guess is kind of the idea.
Oh, my goodness.
So this one kid says, yeah, I started taking meth a week ago because I wanted to get hollow cheeks. But, you know, now my heart's been acting weird.
Really?
Okay. The breaking bones one is the one about the height improvements, you know, the guys who are short, you know, having their legs extended, which is a thing that, you know, you certainly recognize that there's something awful about that. On the other hand, you recognize that taller people get better women and better jobs and make more money and have more social. It's just true, unfortunately. I actually watched a movie about this. I'm trying to remember what the movie was, but where that was the premise of the movie. Is that the guy had actually done this and was getting great results because of it and then kind of felt the need to confess it. It was a very interesting movie. I don't even want to tell you that because it's kind of like it's a surprise element of the movie, and so I don't want to say what movie or who the actor was, but it was a very interesting movie. So that's one. That's one. Looks maxing through, you know, femur breaking and extensions and or putting meth in your body so that you can get thinner cheeks so that you can look just a little bit hotter. Then we have a new word. Have you heard of the word bigorexia? You've heard of anorexia.
Right.
Which is, you know, body dysmorphia in the sense of you can never be thin enough, and so you engage in, you know, vomiting or avoiding eating or starvation or whatever because this idea of an emaciated-looking person seems to be appealing to you. Bigorexia is the male version, and that's the idea that you have to have a certain kind of body standard, a certain kind of musculature, a certain kind of weight lifter, bodybuilder kind of physique, or else there's something deficient, inadequate, unmasculine, losery, whatever you want to say about you. They're calling it muscle dysmorphia, which is the feeling that almost no matter how much effort you put into being healthy and bodybuilding, that you never have enough. And so, you know, it's important a kid can be in a bodybuilding, a kid can be into weightlifting and looking better, but you want to make sure that they understand that steroid body is not a normal body. And so if they have internalized the idea of steroid body, then, well, you know, they're never going to get there unless you destroy your body with steroids. So that's just one thing to keep in mind. Bigorexia is a psychological condition And type of body dysmorphic disorder, which involves a distorted self-image that focuses specifically on muscle size and physical appearance. That's the article I was reading at Huffington Post was Kara Becker, certified eating disorder therapist, national director of eating disorder programs at Newport Healthcare. With bigorexia, the afflicted person is obsessed with becoming more muscular and preoccupied with the idea that their body isn't brawny enough, even if they actually have the physique of a bodybuilder. Now, 2019 study, so it's a little bit dated, shows that 22% of adolescent boys engaged in muscularity-oriented disordered eating behaviors. Now, bulking and cutting isn't of itself dysmorphic, but, you know, it's the gateway. I guarantee you there's nobody engaged in this bigorexia nonsense that isn't also doing the bulking and cutting, right? That's where you eat more calories and more protein you try to build up, and then you cut calories in order to trim off all the fat. You build and then you cut. That's kind of the idea of it. And again, I mean, you know, you can be a very healthy, normal person doing that if you want to, but also that's what, you know, the people who have this basically psychological disease. Bodybuilders and other people who lift weights are at higher risk in the general population of succumbing to this or of having this. Competitive athletes are more at risk than non-competitive athletes. I would describe myself as a non-competitive athlete. Mm-hmm. What? I can play the sports, but not okay. Well. You know, I'm okay. I'm 55. I'm coordinated, you know.
For the most part.
Yeah, mostly. I will play you some kickball. Anyway, we play kickball. I won't.
Yeah, you will.
Against you?
Yeah.
Let's see it. Anyway, athletes who lift weights to change the appearance of their bodies are higher risk than those who focused on just improving performance. Big factor is proliferation of social media and the idea of what's normal and desirable and ideal. This person, who was this? I don't have an ID for the Nagata's last name. Not only are young people consuming body ideals from the media, they feel pressure to produce content and display their own bodies on social media. Men's bodies are on display more than ever on social media, especially through influencer accounts. Constant comparisons to those idealized bodies that may lead to dissatisfaction and bigorexia. And I know what some people are saying is, oh, now you know what it's like to be a woman. Because women, of course, have been subjected to these same kinds of impossible, unreal comparisons and standards and internalized the need to, you know, live up to whatever they're showing you on the swimsuit ad or the lingerie ad or the porn or whatever. And, you know, so it's been true for women for forever. It's just now suddenly true of men also, only in a different direction. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now or delays. It looks like I-10, I-110, 29, 90, 98 Hutt are all flowing smoothly. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Very good, John. if you need any kind of video footage done for example, you're wanting to market your business. Let's say it's a restaurant. You want to do interviews with some customers, maybe some staff, do some shots of the kitchen and do a fly-through, literally a fly-through with the drone. Pelican Drones, they'll do that for you. You're trying to market a subdivision, whether it's built or not yet built, to prospective investors or clients. Pelican Drones, they can do that for you. You want to do a video of your home inside and out so that you have a record of it in case there's damage ever. You want to do a meeting that needs to be or a presentation, or you want to present an ad. Or if it's video footage and you want it shot on the ground or in the air, and then you want it edited, Pelican Drones, that's what they do. They work with FDOT, Portofino, FPL, Visit Alabama, Netflix, HGTV, and, you know, the Johansson's three doors down. Like, it doesn't, like, any size client, whether it's an individual home or a giant corporation, doesn't matter. Buy them by the hour, by the half day, by the day, and then you own it. You own the product that they create for you, which is fantastic. Find out more at PelicanDrones.com. All right, John, you want more? You want more signs of the apocalypse? I have more.
You have more?
Oh, yeah. No, I have had what happens is I kind of accumulate stories of different kinds, and then they just don't quite make it into the show because they're pushed aside by, like, the news of the day. And then eventually I get to them when I can, and I'm kind of in a mood right now, so I'm sharing.
Let's do it.
Yeah. And Signs of the Apocalypse, part two. Okay. I have a new word for you. We've learned several words already today. Looks maxing, bigorexia. Okay. I have a new one for you. Finsexual.
Huh.
In the last 20 years, if there were an industry for manufacturing new kinds of sexual identity, orientation, attraction, all of that, I mean, that's the industry to be in, baby, because you're making up words all the time. So a finsexual.
Fish?
Fin. I know you're thinking because fish have fins.
Yeah.
Nope, it's an acronym.
Oh, no.
Feminine in nature. Okay, so a feminine in nature. What it means is you find yourself attracted not on the basis of somebody's actual sex, whether they're a man or a woman. You find yourself attracted to them because they're feminine. So you have feminine women and you have non-feminine women. Okay, you know, and you say, well, that's not fair to say some women are not feminine. Well, the word means something, you know, soft, frilly, demure, the way you look, you know, body style. Those are all things that, you know, how you talk. These are all things that contribute to somebody being more or less feminine. There are masculine and non-masculine men. Okay, same thing. It doesn't mean you're not a man. Just, you know, these are the definitions of how this sort of cluster of characteristics is what makes you refer to somebody as being feminine or not feminine, masculine or not masculine. Okay, so obviously women can be feminine, but men can be effeminate is typically the word we'd use, but men can be feminine in, like, their presentation and their style of speech and the way they dress, even though they're biologically male. And so this is a person who's not attracted to somebody who's a man. They're attracted to a person who shows feminine characteristics, regardless of sex. You say, well, that just sounds like bisexual. Well, yeah, ish. But you're not attracted to all men and women. You're only attracted to the feminine presenting men and women. There's no word that I know of. There's not a minsexual, which would be masculine in nature. That would be somebody who's attracted to people who present as masculine, because it's kind of hard to wrap your brain around somebody who would find very masculine men and also very masculine women both attractive. That's kind of a what? That's a weird flavor, right? But so that one doesn't exist as far as I know, but why not? You have AFABs. This is people assigned female at birth, and AMABs, people assigned male at birth. You know these terms. This is the nonsense terminology. Instead of calling somebody a man, we're just saying they were assigned male at birth. Anyway, it doesn't matter whether you're an AFAB or an AMAB, but if you present as feminine, then this finosexual is going to be attracted to you. So, for example, an actual sentence uttered by an individual who self-describes as finsexual is, I'm attracted to fin individuals, female in nature, female presenting, but have a preference for those with female genitalia. I mean, it's not a deal breaker. This is where we are in the world. I'm still attracted to people who are fin and have male genitalia. Just stating this in case anyone missed the keyword preference, not requirement.
This is so complicated.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine how hard it must be to grow up in a world where you have to figure out not just are you straight or gay or bi or asexual, but you got to figure out, am I finsexual? Am I minsexual?
Oh, goodness. Just stick with video games.
If you want to really understand, it's like describing yourself as a blondosexual. I find myself very attracted to blonde people. I don't really care if it's a guy or a girl. I just really am after that blonde hair. And John's look of,
okay.
What? But that's
whatever makes
that's
you
what
happy,
this
bro.
Is. That's, no, not whatever makes you happy. So, finsexual often overlaps other terms like gynosexual is another new one. That means that you are attracted to female body. People who have female body parts. Get it? Gynosexual? You're attracted to,
oh.
Right? And many other people use them interchangeably, but being attracted
to, write
to
all this down.
Feminists is a different category, but being attracted to feminine people is different than being attracted to female people.
Can I have an index card with all this written out for me?
I need, like, I don't, you know, the old, like, color wheel you'd use in school, or the, like, how to get the stain out of the carpet versus the sofa versus the drapes, and you, like, you know, spin the wheel of cleansing products. That's kind of what you have to do. Anyway, some argue finsexual is its own specific tag focused on female nature. Variants of the finsexual orientation have also cropped up. Fin romantic for romantic attraction. Fin flexible. No, that's not about the cartilage. That's about those who are primarily attracted to femininity, but sometimes they branch out. I can accept somebody who's not feminine in nature once in a while if they have enough of the other things I want. And then there's the minsexual for masculinity. So the key takeaway here is, if you thought you were up to date on the holy acronym string, you're not. LGBTQ2SIA plus F.
Square root of three.
I'm Andrew McKay.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number? Where customer service is a chatbot and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few, if any, fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit penair.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
Our senators Ashley Moody and Rick Scott and Representative Jimmy Patronis are standing up for radio listeners like us by supporting legislation to keep AM radio in cars. They know the value of local radio in times of emergency. Now it's time for Congress to finish the job and pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act. Learn more at dependonam.com. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
No, that's not the iconic clip from Apocalypse Now with Robert Duvall as Lieutenant Colonel Kilgore. But I like that one because it shows more of the character when he's trying to persuade Lance to return the surfboard that he stole as they're fleeing on their fast boat, the swift boat from the Hueys. 6:56 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Charlie, don't surf! John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Voodoo Barbecue. Time to taste the magic at Voodoo Barbecue. Cajun style, foul off the bone ribs, pulled pork, the way it's meant to taste. Voodoo Barbecue on 9 Mile Road in the Target Shopping Center. Still rolling accident free right now, but if you're on Highway 29 going southbound toward 9 Mile, you're going to see just a few minutes delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Somebody says, we're talking about the fin sexual thing a minute ago, and somebody says, female in nature, attracted to people who are feminine, whether they're male or female. Somebody says, sin sexual, stupid in nature.
Oh, what?
I like dumb girls or guys. Doesn't matter. Any, you know. Somebody else says, we need a wall poster to show this diagram.
Oh, my God.
It'd be a very complicated set of Venn diagrams. You know, it used to be you just find yourself, you know, I'm more attracted to this than that. We don't need a name for it, you know.
Why does everything need a name?
I don't know. I'm a brunette asexual. I married a redhead. Does it work? It still works, you know. So there you go. What?
I'm just looking at you.
It's a person is not reducible to their individual characteristics. They're a collage or constellation of things, and they're, you know, people, and there's all kinds of stuff that works into romantic attraction and this reductivist vision of it. It's just so weird. Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
There's too many options.
There's so much.
I just don't get it.
Well, I mean, if you're going to order a mail order bride from another country, you got to be able to check all the right boxes, you know, so.
Oh, all right. How about some headlines?
Please do.
The U.S. and Iran are meeting in Switzerland today for nuclear talks. The discussions are being mediated by Oman. President Donald Trump has warned Tehran that military force remains an option if an agreement is not reached. The U.S. delegation includes envoys Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner. Jesse Jackson has died at the age of 84. The civil rights activist, ordained minister, former Democrat presidential candidate, passed away peacefully overnight with his family. In a statement, they called him an icon whose unwavering belief in justice, equality, and love uplifted millions across the country. And a massive wastewater spill in the Potomac River is now being considered one of the largest in U.S. history. Officials say a section of the Potomac Interceptor sewer system collapsed. last month, releasing 240 million gallons of raw sewage across Washington, D.C., Maryland, and now into Virginia.
Thanks for that,
gotta,
David. That's gotta fantastic.
Love that. You gotta love man. That water.
Yeah, and in case you did not also hear, Dave was talking about the passing of Jesse Jackson, Robert Duvall, who I was mentioning there at the Apocalypse Now clip. So Robert Duvall also passed away at the age of, 96, is that what I have, 95, something like that. So, 95, that's right. Known for all the roles, essentially. All right, coming up next, I don't know what we're going to do, but it's going to be good. I probably ought to be able to tell you. The skate park at Chimes Way, what happened? I'll tell you about it coming up next. On the Pensacola Morning News. Stick around.